Now, as we talk about mission, here's what happens usually, that there are some people that are stirred by mission. They're like, yes, finally, he's going to shut up about other pointless things. And then there's some of you that go, why am I here? I thought this was a restoration church. I'm bored. I don't want to talk about mission. It has nothing to do with me. You miss it. Your life is not supposed to be about you. You in and of yourself, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. You want to know the best way to be healed from your affliction and your addiction and your life? Move on to the things of Christ. The more time you come in here every Sunday, and I get it, I'm a bleeding heart. Man, my life sucks. I'm battling this. I can't get over this. I just need this. The more you focus on you, the more you fail. The more you focus on the Spirit of God and His grace and sanctification and what He does, you can just get busy. Let me just tell you this. No matter what level you are in Christianity, the more you get busy for the kingdom of God, the more the things in your life will start to align themselves. If you are waiting to make everything kosher and good in your life, no one will have ever served in ministry. Ever. Not one of the apostles, right? The apostles got issues. The early church fathers had bunch issues, right? We talk about Augustine and all these guys. If you read biographies on these guys, they did some terribly stupid things, which gives me hope, because I've done one or two myself years ago. Anyway, and so the purpose of your life, people who don't really want to hear anything about mission, you can't get around it. Mission and sharing, it's just sharing the love of Christ with people who don't have it. That is your job. That is your purpose. I don't know what general revelation, I don't know all the differences between general and specific revelation in the Bible. And general revelation is some things that God just lays out in the scripture that's true for all of us. And then there's specific revelation that God lays out for me.
Rob, plant restored.
Yes.
Marry that hot woman over there.
Yes, Lord. Those kind of things happen. And so I can't tell you what God's specific revelation is for your life. And a lot of people go, I wish I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. Guess what? Say this, my favorite word for a million times, sovereignty. You cannot outthink God. Sometimes we put so much stock into trying to hear God's voice over the fact and truth that he can speak to you when he wants. Amen? Oh, I'm so clouded that the God of heaven who created the earth and the planets, I'm so messed up he can't tell me what he wants for my life. Wrong. If God wants to speak to you, he used donkeys. He used burning bushes. He uses fools. God uses whatever it takes to speak to you. So guess what? Just breathe easy and understand that if God wants you to hear something, you're going to hear it, right? You can't outdo God. And so if he wants you to get something, guess what? Without question, you're going to hear it. Amen? The other side of it is that we could never hear any specific revelation from God our entire lives. Nick, God never tells you to go to point A or point B ever. And we have enough stuff in here in the scriptures that are general revelation from God that we can just spend the rest of our life on taking care of, right? And so in the meantime, when you're waiting for the big donkeys from heaven to fly down and the Lord to be, hello, whatever you dream about there, God has spoken to me like 5 times in my life like that, and they're never anything I ever thought. Weirdest things. But even if they don't come, I could spend the rest of my life honoring Jesus by what's revealed in the scriptures and be full. And be full. God has already, I don't know how many percentages this is, but God has given you 80%, I could say. Maybe it's more, 95% of what you need to do in your life. Follow Jesus. Honor him with your life. Live missionally, which is just live for him. Share the gospel with people. Be the church. Be his, and he'll work out the rest. That's literally what your job is. People just freak out so much about hearing God and that they sit still for so long that they don't move. Well, guess what? I can say without question, calling in your life is mission. Now, some of us will think mission is overseas in China. Yes, it is, and no, it's not. Right? That it's a part of mission, but your neighbor in this neighborhood, in this state, in this country, are just as much mission as China is. Do we have a heart for China? Yes, but why would we ever want God to send us to China if my neighbor doesn't know anything about Christ in me? Why would we expect him to do that? Those who are little faithful with little, the little faithful, those who are little faithful, those who are faithful with little will be given much. I believe that text overarches a lot of things in my life. If I want the nations, then my neighbor Robert better know who Jesus is, or at least be so annoyed by my joy and love for him in the name of Jesus that he just doesn't want anything to do with me. I'm good either way, right? When I go to work, my life is supposed to be mission. That's what you're doing. A job is just a paycheck in a way and means of God to provide for you and, more importantly, for you to be a light. You don't want my job. Your job is better than my job. Let me just say this. I get to train up people, and guess, you know those people at work where you can go home at the end of the day and they can't bug you anymore? You can just stop talking to them. I don't get that privilege with you. I'm stuck with you for the rest of my days. Amen? Thank you. I actually like that part of my job for 96% of you. But your job, man, I've been praying so much lately for God to fall on us and just the Spirit to fall on us. And this is just the Spirit of mission. Man, if you want to know where God is, you want to feel God, you know, you love that tingly feeling, obey God and serve God. And my argument through this whole thing for the next couple of weeks is that mission is the greatest gift to God's church, not just our gift to the world. Mission is a gift to us because it represents so many things. It's a gift. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. When we go to the nations and we bring them the gospel, amen. But what the church, what mission can do in the heart of the church is just as beneficial because it helps us in a lot of ways. And so we're going to talk about that. Here are some things that, as we talked about last year, we leave a week from tomorrow on our second year full of restored missions. Amen? Amen. If you are one of our missionaries, one of our 16 missionaries going to South Dallas next Monday, stand up for a minute, please. Amen. Amen. Be praying for them. Be praying for me. We believe as a heart of restored that even in, and this is the problem with most small churches in the city, not a problem, but it seems to be true, is that a lot of small churches in the city don't have a lot of talk about mission. They're just barely trying to survive. You know, the neighborhood is the neighborhood. But I believe that's a fault. I believe that's why that we have joined the Urban Church Association, and we are trying to empower smaller urban churches to think widely about mission, to plant churches here in the city and overseas. I truly believe with all my heart that someday, Felicia, you and I are going to step off the plane, with other people, of course, that'd be weird, but you and I are going to step off the plane, and we're going to be, our feet are going to touch Ireland. And our feet are going to touch Zimbabwe. And our feet are going to touch Chile. And our feet are going to touch Sudan. And I truly believe that we as a church, if we pray and we keep asking the Lord, and we have not because we ask not, that God will send us to the nations. And people will ask, where are you from? What great ministry? I'm from Restored, man, 21st and Ammon in Wichita, Kansas. We meet at Twin Lakes Mall. The pipes leak. Air conditioning doesn't work worth a darn. Man, we're on fire. Amen. Hopefully by then we can get working air conditioning. Just ridiculous. Thank you, Jesus, for persecution. I don't know how to put that. But here are some cool things before we even get to the meat of the text in our scriptures today that they kind of pulled through. And so here's some benefits that we've seen that's a gift to the church of having a heart of missions. One, mission helps us keep the main thing the main thing. What are we about? If we didn't have mission and we weren't thinking about church planting, by the way, our church planting heart is mission. Because the point of mission is to further the church. Amen? By the way, when Restored does mission trips, we never do mission without it being tied to a local church. It's just pointless for me. And so there are other places and there's this and that and this. I just believe for us, we are about furthering the church. If we're going to go overseas to hear, if we're going to preach the gospel to people, we want to have a follow-through method for them to be raised disciples, trained leaders, and to make church. Amen? That is the glory of God on the earth, is to expand his church and use the church. And so, but it helps us, as a gift to us, it helps us keep the main thing the main thing. Because the more we focus not on ourselves, and we can do that, you can do that as Grant, as you, and then we can do that as a church here. We can just focus on us, our medical clinic and our stuff and our growing and our building. We need to pray about a new building. We do da, da, da. All these things. All those things aren't bad, but those are the death of many churches. The lack of outward looking and outward moving and going is the death. Not all these churches that are dying and croaking right now started out as evil, lazy churches. They were good. They had a heart for people. They shared the gospel. They baptized people. They preach. They teach. And then they became insular. They became about themselves, and they didn't have any heart to expand and to keep moving and to keep growing new churches. Mission for us is a gift because we get to reproduce ourselves and expand the kingdom and get ourselves off of ourselves. What if there's 60 people here in service and we're broke as a joke, but we have 3 church plants in the continent of Africa? Oh, yeah. I hope they're tithing over there, but still, that'd be good, right? Amen. Here's another thing. Mission and short-term trips, long-term trips, help us be better evangelists here. Here is, I just want to speak tender to this, but this is the heartache of my heart for us, is that we don't do a very good job at evangelism. We're the church. We love people. We welcome people. We're the body of Christ. We have a lot of things going, but as for myself, on a regular basis at least, I don't believe that we are purposefully out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ enough. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I hope that would most of you agree with that, that you are not sharing the love of Christ with people purposely through prayer and through, you know, okay, if it's about living, well, I just want to live my life for Jesus. So people think, okay, are you even really doing that? Are you really doing it? Are you on purpose for your neighbors or the guy at work that you hate? And so evangelism, short-term mission is great because I get to take, where's my field mouse at? Where's she at? Where's Farnie? There she is back there. So here's this little quiet little field mouse, and I always use her as an example. As my quiet little girl I used to know at church, she'd come in, and she had this denim dress on. Hi, Pastor. And she would come in just quiet. And I don't know why I remember what kind of dress you had on. That was weird. But she would come in. But in South Dallas, Laura Farnie is a lion. Laura Farnie is in the middle of crack addicts, pimps, hookers, and drug dealers. And she is, hi, what's up? I love you. Can I hug you? I mean, she's just all over the place. She is. And she's just, and guess what? When that happens away, sometimes you just, I hate it. I wish we were all just super faithful when we woke up in the morning, but let's be true. Sometimes getting out of your environment and going, being missing, or purposely making yourself live missing in a little home will make your heart change. Your job, there's a gift of evangelism, which some people have, but there's a call for evangelism for everybody in the church. Nobody can escape it. You are called to reproduce Jesus in your life and in others, which means you have to do it. You know, in the whole, you know, preach the gospel, and when in doubt, when sinner use words. I don't, thank you, sorry, church fathers. I believe both is necessary. Preach with your life, preach with your mouth, people get saved. Amen? Hopefully, if Jesus falls on it, but is it God's glory for people to be saved? Think about it in this room for a minute. You see the parable of the seed sower, right? You sow seed, you sow seed, you sow seed. And out of the four different soils that the seed can land on, one of them produces lasting, rooted vegetation. Fruit, right? Think about that. Right now, if one out of four, and in Kansas, I believe it to be one out of eight, one out of ten. This is a very, very hard missions ground. It's very, nobody sees that. This is the Bible Belt. Everybody's saved. No, everybody thinks they're saved. And that is a curse. It's a curse. People think they're saved when they're not saved. They don't follow. They know Jesus. Everyone I ask here, I'll say, do you know Jesus? And I'm like, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Oh, I knew Jesus. I went to church back when I was 12. Do you follow Jesus with your life? Do you follow after him with everything you have? There's a difference. Amen? Where was I? What was I talking about? Missions. I was talking about missions. I'm just kidding. I knew what I was talking to. But to share the gospel is our mantra. It's our anthem. It's what we do. And in the Midwest, just because people know, we need to flesh out and invite people to know and follow the living God. Amen? Here's a few other things. Trips will expose us to the vast reality of lostness in the world. How many of you have gone on mission before? Or how many of you watch video on mission? How many of you, when you walk through, well, imagine this, if you've never been on mission before and your first missions trip is to Calcutta, and you go to Calcutta, India, and you walk around and the slums number in millions and millions and millions of people who live in shacks and shanties. They're Dalits. They're the most untouched, unloved people in the world. They're treated less than dogs in their society. And you walk through there, what do you think happens to your heart? I've said this before, and I read it, and it broke my heart. I can't get it out of my head, but I saw a, I said this last year, but I saw a picture of a little girl eating from a dog milk. Just because you can't see the depth of lostness and brokenness in the world doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And if you continue to live in your shelter because you don't want to see it, I get it. But it doesn't make it any less the fact that it's there. And it does not alleviate you from the fact that the answer to that little girl's brokenness is you, is the church. Mission helps us get out of our urban-suburban perspective and see lostness. Because lostness for you, to see brokenness on the news and all of these things, I mean, did you guys hear about that soccer referee in Brazil that he stabbed and killed a soccer player, and then the people got mad and like beheaded him and put his head on a stake in front of a whole entire soccer game? This was just this weekend. The referee stabbed some kid, and then this kid's family got so mad they rushed him, quartered him by hand, cut off his head and put it on a stake in a soccer field. If you don't see those kind of things as God, and here's a perspective, you can go two ways. One, man, I hate this world, I want to go be with Jesus. Or number two, I hate this world, Jesus needs to reign in these people's lives. And there's a very big difference between someone who goes and someone who knows. We know it's a bad place. The question is, you are God's answer to it. What are you going to do about it? What are you purposely, what am I, Rob Danz, doing about it? That is called mission. God's answer to the world is Jesus Christ. I am the vehicle by how it goes, and I can do that. Missions is a gift. Some other ways that it's beneficial for us is that it opens doorways to long-term missions and planting. I don't want to just go to South Dallas every year and do VBS. Matter of fact, if you want to know how cratchety I am, I don't verbalize a lot of this to masses. I hate going places and doing VBS. I can't stand it. It's not my thing. The fat kid always gets picked on. You know, they use me as a pinata or whatever. But anyway, is that I can't stand that. But do you know why we go and do that? A, to humble myself and shut up and serve God however he wants me to serve. And B, because I want to plant churches with their mommies and daddies and them there. Our heart for mission is to plant churches. And as we go on these short-term trips, hey, we go to Dallas, big whoop. Number one, I don't know if you've ever been to South Dallas and see the depravity and the brokenness in South Dallas. It's the ghetto here is Disneyland compared to the ghetto there. We don't have a ghetto here. But it opens my eyes for what God wants to do with this church. Mission also, these are just some things I'm stirring, makes us more grateful for God's grace on what we have and leads us to be more sacrificial givers. You can tell me whatever you want, whatever reason you have of why you don't give more. You know what you should do? I believe that tithing was an Old Testament principle. I believe that all the law in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And honestly, you don't have to tithe. There's nothing in the New Testament that says you need to tithe. But there, Jesus does not negate it when he sees it. He tells them that they should tithe, but their hearts should be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But as far as for us, it has nothing to do with it. But literally now, as we as believers, we're called to give above and beyond abundantly. And why? Number one, to check our hearts like we talk about every week. But quite honestly, to use our funds and what we have to fuel God's mission. You can argue with me now, but I dare you to go see that little girl eating from a dog in Calcutta and tell me that you couldn't spend your 20 bucks better. Tell me. And as Americans, I'm probably one of the most self-righteous, think-I-deserve-stuff people in the room. I'm wrong. Missions is a gift to us because it helps us get our mind around our finances and our sacrifice. Amen? John Piper says this, you can either go, you can send, or you can disobey. David Livingstone, who was a mighty missionary in Africa, everybody knows a little spiel about Dr. Livingstone. Sympathy is no substitute for action. A.W. Tozer said, Christians don't tell lies, they just go to church and sing them. The point of those three quotes is that it helps us put our money where our mouth is. I read a quote yesterday. I didn't post it because maybe it was too mean, but I'm really big on quotes. I don't know why. But this guy said, if the church isn't a part of mission, then it has lost its license to be the body of Christ. Listen to that thing again. Christians don't tell lies. They just go to church and sing them. What does that mean? Listen. Now be careful. Let's be careful. I want to be tender. Think about it. What did we sing this morning? Unto you be all the glory. Now I can ask myself, is that true or is that a lie? Mission, my brothers and sisters, is a gift in that way too, because we either go or we don't. And quite honestly, if we don't, then we can have a country club. And we, man, I can preach good time sermons. I mean, I have never done one here, but I'm sure that I can like try to make you feel good about yourself and pimply inside. And I can go back there and put on a Barney suit and run around and your kids, let them stab me with knives and stuff so they think it's great. Pastor Rob is great. We stabbed him with a knife. We can do that kind of church. Don't ask. If you don't understand, you just don't get it. I have reoccurring nightmares with Barney. I'm sorry. But what would be the point? Could we call ourselves a church? No. Oswald Smith said, the mission of the church is missions. 2 Peter 3:9 says this interesting text. This is out of the ESV. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some would count slowness. So what does that mean? People are waiting for the, anticipating for the return of Christ Jesus. Amen? And he seems like he is slow. What do you mean? Like Paul thought he was coming every day, any day. Peter wrote things about the coming of the Lord. It's coming soon and it's coming. And now it's 2,000 years later. And look at, there's a guy with his head on a stick in Brazil. Why is the Lord tarrying? Why is he waiting so long? Why won't he just come back and end this suffering? And here's the problem, is that now there's 7 billion people on planet Earth, which has doubled over the last, what, 100 years? 7 billion people. Think about when we pray every day, God, just come and get me, take me home. God, just come and get me, take me home. God, just come and get me, take me home. I can't take this life anymore. It's too much. I'm ready. I'm tired. I'm just ready to go. I understand. I pray that. But think about what the eternal consequence would be to 7 billion people if 4 billion of them have never been able to get a chance to give their lives to Christ. Hear what I'm saying? And so this says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. Is God going to fulfill his promise? Yeah, Jesus is coming back, right? People get ready, soon women going home. By the way, you girls over here sound like a choir this morning. That was tight. We need to get that going up here and like Sister Swain and stuff. Sorry. But then he says this, but is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Why has the Lord not come back yet? He's patient. Because there's a woman, there's that little girl in Calcutta, and there's a man in Brazil, and there is a sister in Ireland, and there's a lady, a little boy in Canada, and some kid in Wichita, Kansas, that Jesus' heart is breaking for, and he wants them to come to repentance. And so for us, we should go, we should do some simple math and just go, okay, if they hear, we can go home. And if they hear, maybe they'll respond. And if they respond, they'll go to heaven. And if they're in heaven, then they're saved from eternal death. That is the entire reason why we do what we do. Amen? A guy named Richard Bach said, there's just a million quotes on, I just sit there all day and read quotes on mission. Here's a test whether to find your, if your mission on earth is finished. Take your pulse. If you're alive, it's not. I added some words in there, but I like that. Sorry to Richard Bach. I'll pay him the royalties. So here are some things we're going to cover over the next couple weeks, biblically and passionately, that we need to get our minds around. Amen? About mission. It's not going to be that bad. Number one, say this after me. We do mission because Jesus commands it. What do the scriptures say about Jesus' commands? John 14:21 in the ESV says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The beginning of that says, whoever has my commands keeps them, and it is he who loves me. So what does that say? He who keeps his commands loves him. 1 John 3:24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. Let me say it again. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. What does that mean? Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. Amen? That's deep. You can't pay for that kind of preaching. And God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Key. What does he command? So we have this. Number one, here's the key of my life is to follow Jesus when he says go. Amen? Either through the scriptures, absolutely, and by when his Spirit says go, what is my job? Go. Yeah, this is so great. It's so good for simpletons. Simpletons can rejoice. Dumb people like me can be faithful. I don't have a theological, I can't even say theological degree. I have a ghetto urban college degree, but here's what I can preach, and here's what I understand, and here's what I'm going to teach you. When God says go, do it. When he says come, go. When he says go, go. You know what I'm saying. When he says repent, repent. Live by my Spirit. Draw near. Come here. That is the facet of our life that we need to grab around. And what does he command when it comes to his lost people? Here it goes. Matthew 28, we talk about the Great Commission, right? Oh my gosh. Someday I'm going to be in a room full of 1,000 people that are ameners and ahars and say it againers. I'm just praying that someday. Amen. Matthew 28 says this, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. God, we read this just like it's some stupid repetitive song we sing. And it's not. This is the mantra, the anthem of your life. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Amen. And behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So if I'm going to obey Jesus, then I want to obey what he commanded me there. And he told me to go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey. That is my anthem for my life. Whether it's at home to my children, my job as fathers, my job is to teach my babies this. I want to make them disciples. I want to make sure they know Jesus. I want to teach them to obey, and I want to send them. And then guess what? With you guys here, I want to do the same with you. And with my neighbor, I want to do the same with him in this neighborhood. I want to teach raggedy, broken nobodies how to do this, because raggedy, broken nobodies can do this. I don't say this just to put myself down because I need you to encourage me. I was nobody. And because of the commission, and because somebody prayed for me, shared the gospel with me, I am saved and I'm useful in the kingdom of God. Don't tell me there's nobody, there isn't anybody in the city who can't be touched. There is, everybody can be touched in this city. Everybody can be touched in Calcutta. I believe that if a movement of God fell on the Dalits, the most unloved, unreachable people on earth, missions would be over. Because they would do what we won't. Just like South Korea, one of the most greatest sending nations of the world now is South Korea, and they send people here. Why? We need to obey the Great Commission. Amen. Acts 1:8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do we have the Holy Spirit now? And so we have what? Oh yeah, I've got the power. Right? Steph, you know you danced to that Snap song back in the day. Come on. You will receive, Stephen, you know what's so funny about that is that we used to have like dance parties over at my house back at River Lawn, and Steph and I would be jamming to these old things, and Steve would be sitting there going, I never heard that one before. That's because he was born 2 years after the song came out. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry, Steve. You were very cute, though. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will what? Okay, so here's another terrifying feel-good thing about this. You are his witness. What kind of witness are you? What kind of witness are you? Can you go to bed at night and say, ew, I witnessed me some witnessing? Or do you go to bed like me a lot of days asking for forgiveness? Acts 13:47 says, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That video had that, is that you're a light into darkness. You're a light into darkness. Well, they say that so-and-so country is unreachable and untouchable, and they say that these group of people, they say that Wichita, Kansas is one of the hardest places you can hit. If God called me here, and God called you here, there's a harvest. When there's darkness, there's a job. People are so shocked that there's darkness. This place is so corrupt and evil and people are bad. Yep. Which means should do two things in your heart. It should break you for the nations and for people. And two, should activate you to do something. Here is the problem. This is like the problem of the church. There's something really bad going on outside. We should go fix it. Or there's whole churches that are based on like this political philosophy, and they preach and teach and how bad the world is, and they protest and they send out stupid Facebook posts, and they don't do a dang thing to change the heart of a woman that's going to go have an abortion. They don't do anything about a man or woman who are living in a lifestyle that doesn't honor Jesus. They don't want to go share the love with them. They want to persecute them with their words. Are they in sin? Yes. How did you receive your living in sin when you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit? You're right, Christian. I am a baghead loser. Thank you for revealing the truth of God to me. It's the love of Christ, is it not? Does God's kindness lead us? Do we preach the Bible and call sin a sin? Yes, but mission isn't me. You know, they have premarital sex in Africa, right? And if I just ran in there with my self-righteous, hey, sinners, premarital sex is wrong, repent, without illuminating who Jesus is, what would happen? I would probably deserve to have my head put on a stick. Amen? And that was probably what would happen. And I would finally have that slender body I've always asked for. And unfortunately, that's what it would take. Oh, persevere. Amen. Amen. Excuse me for my weak words. John 20:21 says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And so simplicity formula is that we're called to honor Jesus with our lives. Amen? And Jesus says, go. And so here's a great litmus test for me. Oh, I want to honor Jesus with my life. When I say unto you be all the glory, do I mean it? And number two, what am I doing about it? How many of you feel like giving up everything you own, selling everything off? You just naturally feel that way. You just want to give away everything, your comfort. For those of you who have babies, you want to take them out of the good schools and put them in the middle of the hood, or you want to take them to Africa and the Serengeti where children molested and raped for a cure for AIDS. And how many of you just want to do those kind of things? How many of you that just comes natural? Nobody. Nobody on earth. Like the Moravians who had started one of the first Reformation movements of the world in mission with the Moravians in the area of the Czech Republic, and they would pack their stuff in coffins and send themselves to India. That doesn't just happen, but it does happen when people understand God's greatness and his glory, who he is. My life is temporal on this earth, but eternal with him, and that I want to bring him glory. That's how people pack suitcases that are coffins. That's how men and women like us who are so enthralled in lukewarm stuff living gets out of it. That is our persecution, is it not? Our persecution here is my temptation to be okay. I want my kids to grow up and go to a good school. We have a home school, but I hear there's even thugs there. I want them to go to college. I want them to get a degree, and I want them to do mission, and I want them to find, I want to have beautiful daughter-in-laws, and I want to have, you know how I am with babies. I'm so ooey and gushy and gooey. I can't wait for grandbabies. I want to be called Papa, and I want to be there when they get married. I want to marry off my kids and all those things, but those things are great. But those things are nothing compared to the eternal glory of Christ. And to me being used, so maybe I might miss my daughter's wedding, but somebody will get to heaven eternally because I want to obey the commands of Jesus. there's all these great texts, and at the end of them, Paul says, to him be the glory forever and ever, amen. That is, this is weird for me. And I'm not saying this to boast, because I don't boast about anything, except for my lack of boasting. I don't know how I just did that. I confused myself. Wait, hold on. Let me go back and write this down. Don't boast. Boasting. Okay, but this is it. God has ingrained in me from the minute I believed in Jesus that this is just the anthem of my heart. I want to give God glory. I want to give God, it just comes naturally to me, the thought and the desire. And so it's good because everything I do beneficially, I want it to give God glory. And it's like a noose around my neck because when I'm not doing something right, and I'm not just talking about doing right by the works of my hands, but when I'm not in obedience, it crucifies me. A couple years ago, I thought I was going to die. We talked about this Friday in our discipleship. I was having all these things going on. I had blood pouring out of me. I had a blood clot that almost took me. You guys all know the story. I was in the hospital. I was almost dead. And this was my number one thought. I was completely aggravated, and my soul couldn't rest at all. I was so uptight about dying, not because I'm afraid of dying, not because I don't think I know where I'm going to go, don't know where I'm going to go. I'm going to see Jesus when I die. I'm going to see him. When everything fades to white, I just know with all my heart the Lord will be there and he'll say, I hope he'll say, well done. But I want to give God the most amount of glory with my life. And I knew if I would have died 2 years ago that I wasn't even close. I wasn't close. I had not breathed enough life into my kids. I had not breathe enough life into trying to battle my own health issues and actually be a man of God in integrity and go to bed every day and know that I fought the good fight. And I wasn't breathing enough into our church and I wasn't a good enough example and I sure the heck wasn't a good enough husband. And I didn't give God glory the way I want to. I want to glorify him because I understand. Because of the love of Christ and his life to me, I want to give God everything. That should be the anthem for every single one of us. And when I'm off, I just butcher myself because, not because I, no, you don't, you need to encourage yourself. My mind is backwards. I don't work the same way everybody does. I need encouragement. And at other times, I just know what God wants and I want to get over myself and do it. I don't need attaboys all the time. I need just get up and go, Rob, do it. Because time is short. Time is just short. Is time short? Mission is my opportunity and our opportunity to get over myself and to give God glory. Amen? We want to be a missional church. Why? Because we want to bring God glory. When we go to Dallas, I want them to say the Holy Spirit of God was so over those people that they encouraged me, that they saw people come to Jesus, they loved on people like no other, and not to compare with other people, but they were servants and they were his and they just added something to our ministry when they're there for them and for him. Amen? And if we never heard a word of that, who cares? We don't go on mission. Anyway, I'm going to get off on my own tangent and beat myself up and like it. I don't know what that's called. Narcissism. Yeah, I want to be the best God-glorifying narcissist ever. Amen? Sorry for being a big ninny. Forgive me. Forgive me? Good. Here's why. I'm just going to take a left turn here. This verse has been terrifying me and encouraging me. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, Paul is at the end of his road. He's talking to Timothy. He's going to be beheaded. And he writes Timothy these wonderful letters. Timothy is his Timothy. he's the one he's trained up to lead churches and movements. And this is what he says to his spiritual son. He says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but all who has loved his appearing. What do you think of when you hear that? Here's what I think. Paul has suffered. Paul is going to be murdered. And his joy comes from the fact he can say this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Today, I almost just preached on that, and I'm going to stop myself because I'm going to get way out of control. It's just one of those days. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? What if there's a bomb coming, and you know all those stupid preacher analogies? The dude walks down here with the automatic machine gun, and he's going to kill us all. But what, we don't know the hours of our days. And today's your last day, and you have a few last thoughts. Wouldn't you want this to be it? I have run the race. What does he say? I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. Does it mean that there's not a fight to be had? Of course there's a fight. He fought. He didn't give up. He didn't just pull back. And when it came to mission, and his whole life was mission, he didn't just give up. He kept going. When he was persecuted somewhere and they were going to try to kill him, what did he do? He just moved on to the next place. Amen? And he kept going and going and going. And then he says this, I have finished the race. He actually felt some kind of contentment that what God had him on earth for, he did. He did it. And then he says, I have kept the faith. What on earth is it? What kind of race are you in? There are specific revelation for you in this. And then there is general revelation for you, but this is it. Do you feel secure in your heart for the lost, in your heart for the broken, that when you die, when you're on the verge of dying, can you sit there and say, I tried as hard as I can. I did everything I could have. And sure, we're all going to have some kind of regret. But is there a way? Because before I read this, I always had the mindset that I'm always going to live under conviction and I'm just going to die and feel bad. And when I go to heaven, I'm going to feel better. But Paul's alive. Paul knows where he's going and he says, I've done it. I fought the fight. I stayed in there. I kept my faith and I achieved it. And now from Jesus, the crown of righteousness is coming for me and everyone else who would do the same. I want that because it gives them glory. It brings joy to him. It gives him praise. And we as a missional church, I'm so sorry for some of the struggles that some of you have. I don't know how to help you get out of your sin except just pray for you that the Spirit will come and to teach you how to be obedient. That's all I can do. I don't know magic words. I don't know the prayer that stops somebody from sin. But I know this, is that if your entire life is wrapped up on you and your mission to get better, you've missed it. God's mission is for others. We have to just lay ourselves on the altar and say, here, Lord, take my sin, take my brokenness, take my struggle with alcoholism or pornography or worry and doubt and all these things. Just take them, take them, take them. I want to give you glory. And just serve. Be accountable to somebody. Have someone lay out what's going on with you and serve him. Get over yourself for his sake and for their eternal salvation. We have to get over ourselves. I have to get over Rob Dance, and Rob Dance has, I'm just so broken. I'm so messed up that the only thing that happens is when I just say, God, I can't anymore, and I just serve. Now, just even here in the building, we have so many opportunities for some of you to come and serve and to come and lay down your life with us. I mean, our leadership team is tired. We're expected to bring new people in and to serve and take care of issues and struggles. It would be so amazing if the rest of the room, and some of you are, but there are some people that are not, just jump in there and help us. We're not trying to grow restored. We're trying to grow the kingdom of God. We're trying to have new people know Jesus. And when you're faithful, when you serve at the clinic, when you bring your friends, like why isn't anybody bringing everybody they know? If what you say is true about how you love this place and how it's family, there shouldn't be anybody on your block that you wouldn't want to be here. Am I wrong or not? Be the mission of the church. Be what he wants us to be. And that is a God glorifying, giving him glory. And I want to preach every other sermon to help you. I want you to be free of bondage. But I know for a fact that those of you who are battling over and over and over again, it's because you're totally consumed with your problems. Be accountable. Be repentant. And be a yes man or a yes woman. Listen, ask your pastor or elders where you could serve. Share Jesus. Have your neighbors over. Go to work with a different attitude instead of hating that place. Why don't you penetrate that place like a Holy Spirit tip of a spear for God's glory? And if God wants to move you, guess what? God will move you. If he doesn't want you there, but if you're there tomorrow, you still have a job when you walk in, you haven't jumped out the back door, guess what? Your mission field, there are churches where they have at the top of their door on the way out, now leaving the church for the missions field. You should put that over your door at home. Now we're going to get to the rest of my sermon. Let's just pray. Can you just pray with me. God, I can't even fathom what it would be in me to literally have every piece of my soul and my flesh be obedient to the fact that unto you be all the glory. Lord, I know that none of this happens without your Spirit. But I truly believe that your Spirit has already been given to us in power. And that we already have the keys to the vehicle to walk in freedom and not just have the keys to freedom. God, help us to get out. Lord, would you break my heart for my street? God, would you break my heart for my neighborhood? Would you break my heart and for those of us who go to work and we've never, ever purposely shared the gospel with people? Some of us might get persecuted. Some of us might lose our jobs. But some of us could see a revival. Some of us could see that guy at work that we can't stand on his knees, crying out for Christ. And Lord Jesus, would you help us as a church? God, again, I'm at my wit's end with trying too hard. I've been trying too hard my entire ministry. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. We need you to come. God, our heart, you've already aimed us in this direction, which is amazing. God, would you give us the power to walk through and see it and to be a spearhead of the gospel of Christ to the broken? Lord, the devil has us tricked. Our flesh has us deceived. Church has become about me and my family getting better, which it is, and it's not. God, would you make us radical zealots for the name of Christ? And Lord, there's always been a hill we faced at this church specifically, and it's this one. It's people who purposely share the gospel of Jesus where they go. Lord, once we clear that hurdle, God, I have no question that you will bless your kingdom. So, Lord, would you help us? Some of us are dearly afraid to share the gospel. God, would you give us power? Would you remind us that we're not selling anything? We're just sharing the greatest thing we say that's in our lives, Jesus Christ. So God, I pray for our team. I pray for this whole church. This church is a team. There are senders in this room and there are goers. And God, I pray as one body, Lord, that you would unify us. If anybody comes to know Jesus this summer in South Dallas, God, it's because this church rose as a collective, gave, served, garage sailed, prayed, fasted, and went for your glory. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you would convict us in such a way, not in condemnation, but sweet Spirit-led conviction to love the people in our midst so much that we would be on purpose and on fire to share the gospel of Christ in mission as our mission. Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray for your Spirit to fall on us. Lord, I pray that no one in this room would be disconnected from this title because it is what you've called them to. God, I pray that every year we go through this, we would grow more and more and more. Lord, I long for the day, on that day, when we have hundreds of restoreds throughout the nations. And I believe that's going to happen with all of my heart. And I believe with all of my heart that that's going to happen with these people. We might not be able to see it, but when has seeing ever been the call of your church? We believe by faith. We believe by your call. Jesus, just help us get over ourselves.